In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Covenants. We've all made them in our lives, haven't we? In the secular and legal terms, it's an agreement that is freely entered into by two or more parties who may be individuals or groups of people. And they may be of equal or unequal status. That's the legal definition. The bottom line is, in a covenant, we promise someone that we will commit ourselves to do something. It may be as important as your wedding vows, or committing to care for a loved one after their partner or spouse passes away, or committing to having and raising children in the Christian faith. Or it may be something on a much smaller scale, like promising to spend more time at home with the family. There's myriads and myriads of ways to enter into a covenant with other people. And we always expect both parties will uphold their end of the covenant when we enter into it. But unfortunately, we also know what it feels like when someone doesn't live up to their promise. When someone doesn't live up to their part of the covenant, it leaves us feeling heartbroken, crestfallen, disappointed. Sometimes we just want to throw our hands up in the air and give up, telling ourselves that it's just easier not to trust humanity at all than it is to be disappointed in their shortcomings. Well, God understood those feelings. In religious terms, a covenant is an agreement that brings about a relationship between God and God's people. And throughout the Old Testament, God made one covenant after another with humanity, and one time after another, humanity broke the covenants. It all started with those biblical covenants made with Abraham, Moses, and Noah, just to name three of them. In the Old Testament, a covenant was given by God to the people of Israel. It was a covenant that the people of Israel entered into that created a special relationship with God. Thereby, they became God's chosen people. And God sometimes, in the midst of that covenant, became exasperated with humanity. So exasperated that God even once flooded the earth. But God came to realize that the flooding of the earth was a huge error. And so God made a covenant with Noah and his descendants that there would never again be a flood to destroy the earth. God's rainbow in the sky would be the lasting sign of that covenant. Then God made a covenant with Abraham and Sarah, in which God promised Abraham that his offspring would be as numerous as the stars in the heavens, and that his descendants would see the promised land. When those descendants fell into the hands of Egyptian rule, God promised to free them from the burdens of the Egyptians and bring them to the promised land, just as he had promised Abraham. Well, so far, it's so good, isn't it? We're right on track. But the descendants of Abraham forgot that they had to keep their end of the covenant too. And as we heard last week, all these people did was complain and whine about what they didn't have, instead of keeping an eye on the prize of the promised land and what they would have. So to help them remember the covenant, God gave 10 commandments to Moses, the covenant between God and Israel. God even gave it to Moses written on a stone tablet so that the people could always have it tangibly before them. But Moses wasn't even down from the mountain with the commandments in his arms before Israel started breaking their covenant by worshiping false gods and graven images. But despite all of those shortcomings, God kept his covenant. God refused to give up on us even when we gave up on God. And so this morning, God tries a new way. This time, instead of writing the covenant on something tangible like tablets of stone, God decided the covenant would be written in our hearts. And that's what this passage from Jeremiah is all about. For me, it is one of the most beautiful passages in the entire Old Testament. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they will be my people. They will know me from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. There it is in a nutshell, folks. That's the heart of our faith. Our belonging to God and God belonging to us. It is the ultimate covenant, the covenant of intimate relationship with God. It's the covenant of love. Every time I read this passage, it rings in my soul like a love letter to humanity from God. Because the words are so intimate and personal. With this new covenant, the law is now etched in our hearts, and it's how we are marked as God's own. There's not going to be an external sign that identifies us as God's people. It will be forever an internal marking, an inward identity that will forge our emotional and intimate relationship with God. But like all covenants, they are not one-sided. This covenant of love comes with responsibility. If God is to write love on our hearts, then we need to live out our lives in that love. And that's an awesome responsibility, isn't it? Because it means that the world will come to know God because of what they see in us. It means people are watching what we do, how we do it, what we say, and how we say it. In short, people will be making decisions on this Christian life based upon our actions and how we show love. It also means that God forgives us our sins, then we have to forgive the sins of other people. After all, isn't that the promise of the gospel? Sin is never greater than the power of God's love. All we have to do is surrender our lives to that love. And we're going to be reminded of that in just 2 short weeks. Because that brings us to the new covenant God is about to make with us. On Maundy Thursday, Jesus is going to introduce a new Maundy, which in Latin means commandment. We will receive a new commandment from Jesus, a commandment to love one another just as Christ has loved us. This, Jesus says, is how people will know that we are his disciples, if we have love for one another. And to make the point even clearer, Jesus will issue this new Maundy, this new commandment, as he shares his last earthly meal with his disciples. On the surface, it's going to appear like it's no more than a goblet of wine and a piece of bread. But it will soon become the blood covenant that God will make between the divine and humanity. This commandment of love is God saying, "Let the covenant of my son's blood mean life to you, not death. Let his life become your life through the blood of this covenant." This is going to be the very last covenant God will ever make with humanity. And it's a covenant that is given with pure, unconditional love. Love written on the heart. As we sit here on this 5th Sunday of Lent, our Lenten journey is soon coming to an end. But we still have the opportunity to witness and experience the love of God as we take up our cross and walk the pilgrimage with Christ to the cross, to death, and to resurrection. in these next 2 weeks as we move closer to the foot of the cross. May we open our hearts to receive once again the covenant of God so freely given to us. And may we accept God's divine love that's already written on our hearts. Then, as we walk with Christ through Holy Week, may we walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. Amen.